John chapter 11 starts out as a message of bad news, in that Mary and Martha send word to Jesus, who's away from Judea, that his friend and their brother is sick almost to death. It ends with the greatest news story in all the world. Jesus not only saves, but Jesus also rise someone from the dead. It starts out with a message of death. It ends with a message of hope and renewal of life. It's one of the greatest chapters that I guess we could turn to in the Word of God to let us know not only how we ought to think about life and loss and death, but even more importantly, how our Lord dealt with those subjects as well. There's a certain man was sick, Lazarus from Nazareth, or Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. It was that Mary who anointed the Lord with fragrant oil and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore the sisters sent to him saying, "Lord, behold, you whom you love is sick." Jesus heard that. He said, "This sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God may be glorified through it." Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. If you do have your notebooks or your booklets, on page 32, we'll begin this morning by looking at some things that our Lord tells us about life and loss from this great book and great chapter. First of all, notice in verses 11 through verse 14 that Jesus regarded death as sleep, not annihilation. You may recall that in that text, the disciples say, "Lord, if he's sleeping, then he's okay." And our Lord said, "Oh, he's sleeping, but he's also dead." We live in a world today that believes that once a person dies, that's it. There's nothing else. There's no great beyond. There's no heaven or hell. There's no judgment day. And just like our Lord affirmed in many other places in Scripture, here in regard to this particular death of his dear friend Lazarus, he said, "No, he's asleep." Same terminology that Paul would use in 1 Thessalonians 4, among other places. Meaning that one day when this life is over, that when our bodies die, there is a part of us, that eternal part, that goes to be with God. And we are in that time, a place of the Hadean realm, waiting for that final judgment day. Our Lord saw this occasion as a time to deepen their faith. Continually, verse 15, 26, 40, 42 to 45, he kept talking about, "Do you believe? Do you have faith in me? Do you think this is possible?" How often, how important is it for us to have faith? Faith that our Lord will do exactly what he has promised to do. And of course, you may recall John 11 occurs before the death and the burial and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Yet already Jesus is talking about, "Do you believe in me?" And I think today, almost 2,000 years removed from that event, you and I need to ask and answer that same question. Do we really believe that God will say and do what he says he's going to say and do? And that's exactly what our Lord wanted them to understand. Yes, he had decided to stay 2 days away from going back to Judea to be with Mary and Martha. But he wanted them to have faith. Notice also the reactions of those who were bereaved could be different. Verse 20, when our Lord comes to Bethany, about 2 miles south of Jerusalem, Martha evidently is already out being around others. And she goes out and meets the Lord out on the road. Mary is inside the house. Now, there are Jews that have come to comfort her. But Martha's on the outside. Mary's on the inside. You see, we all grieve differently. We made that point over and again yesterday afternoon. Every one of us grieve differently. It doesn't matter whether we're kin to one another. It doesn't matter of what age, personality, or background. We all are going to grieve differently. Jesus recognized that on this occasion. Our Lord, as we've already mentioned, saw this death situation as a time to emphasize the resurrection. It's hard for us today in our world, particularly as callous and as cold as so many people are about religion in any kind of way, for you and I to talk about the resurrection of the dead. But folks, do yourself a favor and just look at that word in Scripture. And look at the many times that that early church and those early preachers and apostles and disciples talked about the reality of the resurrection. How many more questions would we have if we did not have 1 Corinthians 15 and Paul's entire chapter about the power of the resurrection of Jesus Christ? What changed those men for running for their life at Calvary's Hill to becoming men that were willing to be beaten and even killed for their faith in God? And the answer is the resurrection of Jesus Christ. On this occasion, even though they were hurting extremely because of what had happened, Jesus talked about the resurrection. Jesus also saw the need to use others to help. After talking to both Mary and then Martha, he wanted to go and see where Lazarus was laid. He said to some, "Roll the stone away." Could he and the disciples have done so? Surely. But it's interesting, he wanted others to do what they could do. And I think when it comes to any kind of grief loss, we forget that there are things that people can do, young and old alike. We need to allow others to help, to be there in our time and our sorrow and our journey of grief. On this occasion, Jesus saw this event as a time to pray. And it's interesting that as John tells us about this narrative, that Jesus lifted his voice and his head up to heaven. And he basically said, "Lord, you've always been there for me. You've always answered my prayers. But for the sake of these people, I'm saying what I'm saying." Prayer. In your announcements, just a few moments, and in the beautiful prayer that was prayed about those individuals that are sick, no doubt, on your list of announcements and other such things, you have all kinds of individuals. Let them know you're praying for them. If all you can do is pray, well, pray. Pray continually. Pray constantly. Pray, as Paul said, without ceasing. On this occasion, after Lazarus was raised from the grave, the word of God spread and people talked. Now, what's interesting is that both positive and negative things were said. There were those who believed because they saw it with their own eyes. There were others who ran to the Pharisees and said, "That man, that troublemaker, is doing it again. You need to know about that." People talk. And shouldn't it be that when some event, some tragedy happens in this community, that this congregation be known as people that do things for others to the point that people will talk? It's interesting that my wife had a conversation with a lady at the motel that we stayed at. And she said, the Church of Christ is well known in this community for their kindness and love and taking care of people in time of need. That's a compliment to you folks, and perhaps to other congregations in this community. I don't know her background. She did have a relative that was a member of the Lord's Church. But that's the way it ought to be. That when some tragedy, when some loss happens, people are going to talk one way or the other. It ought to be that God's word and God's name is praised because of that situation. In John chapter 11, our Lord deals with Mary and Martha and their grief. Briefly, I want to mention four things that our Lord did that we can do today that can be useful and helpful. Number one, be real. John 11 and verse 35. You know what the text says. I will not ask you to raise your hands as to how many of us has used that as our memory verse when we were small. But we all did. Jesus wept. What's that tell you about our Lord? It tells you who is willing to be real. He was willing to be genuine. He was willing to show himself before Mary and Martha and the Jews and his own disciples that it was okay to grieve. The interesting thing about this particular verse is that the original word means that Jesus was crying on the inside, not on the outside. Verse 33, the Jews and Mary and others are wailing. The word is the original word refers to. They're wailing like a baby, just crying as uncontrollably as possible. But when you get to John 11, 35, Jesus is so torn up on the inside that before the tears come, he is just overwrought on the inside of him. And the word that's used there refers to someone that snorts like that of a horse on the inside. He's overcome with grief. Brethren, when we're moved with emotion, when terrible things happen that we want to show our emotions to others, be real. Be genuine. It's okay for them to see you greatly concerned about their loss. When Paul wrote to the church in Thessalonica, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who are asleep, that you sorrow not as those who have no hope. And then he goes on to explain what the Lord's going to do at the end of time. Paul was not saying it's wrong for you to grieve. Their loved ones were dying. They mistakenly thought you had to be alive for the Lord to come back. They thought he was coming back soon. Paul said, just don't sorrow like those who have no hope. But it's okay to grieve. It's okay to be real. Number two, be quiet. Both in verse 21 and again in verse 32. Did you notice that Martha and then Mary, who were separate and apart from each other, said the exact same thing to our Lord? Lord, if you had been here, our brother would not have died. And I think they likely said it in that tone of voice. They had sent word to Jesus, come quickly. He stayed away for two more days. And he died. And he'd been dead for 4 days. They'd already had the funeral. And they're a little bit overwrought. Isn't it interesting that you don't find in verse 22 and in verse 33 our Lord correcting them for their misunderstanding? He allowed them to say what they wanted to say. In a time of trauma, in a time of sadness, it's not so much what we say, but what we do that really matters. The Joe Baileys lost three different children in time of loss, three different kinds of ways. In his book entitled The View from a Hearse, he wrote about one of those visitations. I was sitting torn by grief. Someone came and talked to me of God's dealings, of why it happened, of hope beyond the grave. He talked constantly. He said things I knew were true. I was unmoved except to wish that he would go away. He finally did. Another one came and sat beside me. He did not talk. He did not ask me leading questions. He just sat beside me for an hour or more, listened when I said something, answered briefly, prayed simply, and then left. I was moved. I was comforted. I hated to see him go. In grief, there's a time to talk, but there is also a time to be quiet. Number three, be supportive. In verse 31 and again in verse 34, you have these group of Jews who have been with Mary and Martha at least for 4 days, if not before, and the disciples, and they're all being there, the Lord coming to be with them. You see, that's what we need. We said several times yesterday that one of the great fears of those who grieve is that they will have to grieve alone. And secondly, that you've forgotten them in their grief. We need to be supportive. We need to be there for someone. I read about a little girl whose playmate had died suddenly, tragically. Several weeks later on, the little girl's late for supper time, and she finally gets there, and the father very sternly says, "Where have you been?" "I've been over to Mrs. Jones's house." "What have you done there?" "I didn't do anything." "Well, what could you do to help her?" And the little girl said, "Daddy, I didn't do anything. I just got in her lap and I cried with her." That's being supportive. Be supportive. Number four, be available. I think John chapter 12 is a continuation of this narrative of John chapter 11. Jesus, several days after the death of Lazarus, has come to be with Lazarus and Mary and Martha. And I think it's rather interesting that our Lord is spending time with them after the fact. Can you imagine the questions that Mary and Martha have? And maybe even Lazarus. Remember, he went to the Hadean realm during those days of death. Wonder what he saw. Wonder what he thought about that. And yet here's Jesus being available to them in their time of grief and now after what has happened. That's exactly what you and I need to be available to people of grief. If you don't hear anything else, and if you don't remember anything, please remember this. It has been suggested that 97% of people quit visiting and spending time with people of grief within 2 weeks or after 2 weeks of their loss. And yes, you heard it right, 97%. You see, after 2 weeks is when the real pain begins to happen. After 2 weeks, the reality of that loss, whatever it is, whomever it may have been, begins to set in. Within 2 weeks is when people begin to look around and say, "Where did everybody go?" Yet 97% quit visiting and going back to their life and to their own situations of life. That's exactly the time when we need to be people that say, "That's when I'm going to come in 2 weeks later on. That's when I'm going to write a note. That's when I'm going to take a food card or a casserole by. That's exactly the time when I'm going to go and say, I want to do something to help. What can I do?" Or even just going and sitting and visiting and letting them know that they can count on you. Our Lord wanted Mary and Martha to know that he was real, that he was quiet. He was just going to listen to what they had to say. He was available to their needs. He was supportive of them. We live in a world today where many individuals are not allowed their grief. But that's exactly what Jesus did. He allowed them their grief. He allowed them to express it to the fullest, to say whatever they felt, to feel whatever they were feeling at that point in time. That's why they were able to get beyond their grief. Many today in our world just are not allowed their grief. And that's why we have so many individuals that are still grieving. In our world today of hurry up, therapy, let's get it done and get over with, they start talking about closure way too soon. Shootings, suicides, terrible losses, tragic deaths, things being destroyed, our homes, houses, whatever the case. People want closure. They want to get finished with it. It just doesn't work that way. But what does work is for us as God's people to be with someone and to stay through with them. And to be there not only during the right times and the good times of life, rejoicing with those who rejoice, Romans 12:15, but also to weep with those who weep. That's what our Lord did with Mary and Martha. And I think John chapter 11 is there for us to look at and ask the question, Lord, what do we learn from this about us? And I think the answer is, go and do likewise. Could it be in this audience this morning that there's someone that's not dealing with their grief that needs the prayers of this congregation? Could it be that there's someone here that's not right with God in relationship with his church, or that has never become a New Testament Christian today? Believe me, Jesus cares. And I think this congregation cares as well. Whatever your need, we invite you to come, and together we stand and sing this invitation song together.